Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 37 of season 2. This week we are studying 1 Corinthians chapters 14 through 16. And this week wraps up the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And again, he spends his time trying to help the early saints better understand doctrine so they can live their lives more effectively. Two truths stood out to me in this week's reading, and let's talk about them. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, which reads, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Peace is what God longs to give us, and I think peace is what all of us want to have in our lives. So if God is the author of peace, and we all want peace so badly, then why are there so many people who are in distress? And I think the key in this is that we have to understand what type of peace is the peace that God is offering. I think it's different than the peace that we usually associate with calm and everything being okay. This is clarified in Jesus' teachings during the Last Supper. In John chapter 14, verse 27, the Savior teaches, "Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I believe the key in this teaching is when he says that his peace is not as the world giveth. But what does that mean? I think most often when people think about having peace in their lives, they want internal peace. They want peace of mind and a feeling that everything is going to be okay. Yet in the world's method of peace, in order to achieve that internal sense of calm, things have to be externally calm as well. For example, if you lived in Tornado Alley in the United States, external peace would be achieved by no tornadoes happening. And so if there's no external threat, then we just rest easy. It's a beautiful day. We sit outside and enjoy the sunshine. And that external peace enables us to have the internal peace. But the Savior's peace is different, and it works like this. So if you're in Tornado Alley, there is a tornado. It's bearing down on your house. Things are flying around and destruction is imminent. You are safe in your tornado shelter, but you can hear the winds screaming and howling around you. And then the Holy Ghost whispers to you that everything is going to be okay. You have peace even in the midst of that terrifying experience, or you have the potential to have peace in the midst of that terrifying experience. And I think this is the kind of peace that the Savior is offering to us. He wants us to have peace during difficult times. He wants us to learn to trust him and in his promises, especially when it seems like they might not come true. The Savior's peace is far superior to the world's peace because it can exist not only during times of external calm, but it can also exist during times of intense stress. I think we need to never forget that the first principle of the gospel is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we increase our faith in him, which comes through difficult spiritual growth, we have a greater portion of the peace that he has promised. And I don't believe the Savior just magically causes us to feel less fear. He invites us to think differently about things, to increase our faith, to change the way we believe about things, which in turn decreases fear and increases peace. When we believe that he is in charge and that his plans are for the best, then we can usually rest a little easier despite increased stressors in our lives. I think that's the peace that the Savior is offering. And as he said, not as the world gives, but the specific peace that he can give us. Let's talk about another principle in this week's reading. This one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, which reads, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So when I read this, Paul's statement of "I am what I am" caught my attention. And I've heard variations of that statement many times throughout my career. Sometimes it's a positive, and other times it's what seems to be a reason why someone cannot change. So in my work as a psychologist, I've listened to many people tell me about their liabilities, such as anxiety, depression, anger, hostility, lack of communication, or any other number of challenging characteristics. And oftentimes, they have then told me that that is just the way they are. Sometimes they reference historical issues, such as the way they were raised, or maybe even genetic issues, saying they come from a long line of people who have similar liabilities. Now, I am not saying that our histories or our genetics do not have an influence on our current behavior. They absolutely do. But what I am saying is that we are here to change that. We can become different people than we are now, regardless of what types of experiences we've had in the past. Paul goes on to teach in chapter 15, starting in verse 47, "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly." To me, this is explaining the concept of transformation. It means that we come to earth in one state, and we are going to eventually be changed to a different state. And the scriptures are full of this idea of becoming new creatures, getting new hearts, and refining ourselves from this kind of base natural condition, the way that we come, to a higher, holier way. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles taught, "Come as you are, a loving Father says to each of us, but he adds, don't plan to stay as you are. We smile and remember that God is determined to make of us more than we thought we could be." Too often we get stuck with the idea that we cannot change for whatever reason, but that's simply not true. There's always something we can do to change, even a little bit, and little changes over time are what create the greatest changes in our lives. The prophet Alma taught this concept to his son Helaman. In Alma chapter 37, verses 6 and 7, it reads, "Now ye may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you, that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes. And by very small means, the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls." Anytime we are struggling with chronic issues, including emotional challenges that we've borne for a long time, there is no easy solution. It's going to take consistent, focused effort to make long-term changes. But the good news is that the efforts that we make can and should be small and simple. That way they are easier to sustain, and they will certainly yield great results if done consistently over time. I make that recommendation often to people that I'm working with. When they're trying to make changes in their lives, I say, don't try to change everything all at once. You're bound to fail if you do that. Try with just little things over time, and the effect of that is going to have a powerful influence in your life. Please never believe the lie that you cannot change. Those ideas do not come from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can fill us with hope for the future and peace in our current circumstance. As we yield to his enticings, we can enjoy the rest that comes from that. I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act, and just invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you. So this week's invitation is, on a scale of 1 to 10, rank yourself on how much of the Savior's peace you feel in your life on a daily basis. Then search the scriptures and find at least 5 teachings that emphasize how the Savior can increase our peace. And then study those scriptures on a regular basis and strive to believe the truths that they teach more fully. I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To get those, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with those with whom you think it might be helpful. And we have written transcripts of the podcast now. You can find that link in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.